The hardest money that has ever been invented.
I also made the case for owning Bitcoin, the quintessence of scarcity premium. It's literally the only large tradable asset in the world that has a known fixed maximum supply. By its design, the total quantity of Bitcoins cannot exceed 21 million.
Bitcoin is the hardest money that has ever been invented.
If you don't have my private key, you cannot spend my Bitcoin, period. And this is the power of Bitcoin.
It's the first time we figured out how to create true property that you can take possession of with full custodial rights.
Well, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Talking in Bits. I am here, as always, one of your hosts, Jose, and we got Kevin in the house, as always. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Another great week.
Dude, busy week.
Yeah, I always feel good. 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, we are guaranteed our freedom and our sovereignty, and the rules of engagement stay the same.
Dude, have you been looking at the block time? It ain't been 10 minutes. It's been
fair,
like five.
Fair. I mean, how do you? What's the proper term for the little about or
the tilde?
Is that what it is?
Tilde.
Bam! I suck at grammar, bro. I'm like terrible at. You know, I just found out what an M dash was. Well, I know what it was, like what it's called.
M dash.
Ah, got sure. You.
Yeah, you did.
We
I don't
got
know what that is. Oh, okay.
The M dash is like that long dash. Like, you know how sometimes people use it to break up, to turn a compound sentence into one?
Like two dashes or like how many? What's the proper amount of dashes for an M dash? Is it because I go on my keyboard and I'll just do like five or four or seven or like.
And some word processors will like turn it into an M dash for you.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's not a real M dash.
Yeah, because you do like the double and then it like merges them.
Yeah, so I don't know what the exact answer is because an M dash is just an M dash, but let's just say two. Two dashes together
two
make
dashes
an M dash.
Constitutes an M dash.
Yeah, right. So I just found out what an M dash was. I just found out what a tilde was, even though I use it all the time.
Yep.
So yeah, let's say tilde 10 minutes.
This is the episode where we label all the keys on the keyboard.
Yeah, so you guys are in for quite the show. but yeah, so just because this is an audio experience, tilde 10 minutes, the rules are verified.
Approximately.
Oh, okay. Yeah, damn it, Kev. That sounds so much better. You're right. Approximately.
Hopping right into our value for value segment. Friends of the show.
Friends of the show. Somebody gave us a lashing, bro.
Oh, man. I don't know if it was lashing. I think this was just more. I love the listeners, man, because they just, you know, I'm a fan of the truth. And like, even if I'm wrong, even if I'm dead wrong, I'm glad to find out that like, you know, this is the right answer. And now I've got that going forward.
Yeah, likewise, man. I appreciate it. I mean, and of course, if you're providing sats to give your opinion, you can say whatever the hell you want. I respect that. That's the whole point of that. So yeah, shout out. But go ahead.
What we got? Getting through the boost here. We got Mr. Robot, 4 Pete, Adam and, 3,333 sats. Love it. Adam and Dave Jones came up with podcasting 2.0 3 years ago. Value for Value was created by Adam with the No Agenda show. I'm sure he's talking about Adam Curry, that has been around coming up on 16 years next week. There were already value for value apps prior to Fountain, this being one of them. That's what I thought. I thought that was my general, what I thought was true was that Adam Curry kind of pioneered it. At least that's what I've heard.
Finish it because I'm about to go on a rant.
I know you got, I could see as soon as I looked up from reading, I just saw this like what looked like a volcano about to erupt on Jose's face.
No, it's not a volcano because I am out of tune with the latest. But go ahead. I want you to finish before I get into my stupid shit.
Okay. So that was one of them. We got another one.
Shout out to Robot.
Thank you, Mr. Robot. We got another one from In the Morning, 777 sats. I love the repeating numbers, man. Seriously. As a good host and guest, you guys should go listen to Podcasting 2.0 with Adam and Dave.
That's the lashing right
there. It sounds like you aren't aware of much going on regarding value for value. I see. That's the slight dig there. Well, you know, maybe there's something we're not aware of in the morning, but yeah. I will let you, Jose, get to that in just a minute.
Well,
right after his follow-up.
Okay.
For 111 sats, also from In the Morning. Mr. Robot is indeed correct. Long before Fountain, there were value for value apps, very good ones also. All right, Jose, let's hear the rebuttal.
All right, well, in the morning, I love you. I appreciate you for sending your hard-earned Satoshis over to us to set us straight. I will say that you are 1,000% correct. I have not been keeping up with the latest. Actually, that's what Robot is helping Talking in Bits do. Maybe I doxed him, but yeah, that's what we want Robot on our side to do, is to keep us up to date. But what I will say, and I don't remember what we said in that episode with Carr, so I guess I apologize for sounding so ignorant.
I think Carr said that. It was Oscar. I think there was a comment about Oscar being first. Maybe that was conflated. Like he was the first with Fountain and getting like value value like Bitcoin podcast. Or I don't really know.
So I'm gonna give a little context to Robot knows this. So I'm a little bit surprised that. Anyways, I'm gonna give a little bit of context to In the Morning on a little bit of this show and where we come from. So Talking in Bits was receiving value for value sats on Sphinx Chat. Way before any of these podcasting platforms. Talking in Bits and the I'll call it the prequel, the pre-podcast that existed before Talking in Bits, which was self-claimed the Jose Burgos podcast, was one of the first few podcasts in the Bitcoin space that were on Value for Value. I actually had a lot of conversations with Dave Jones, and Dave Jones was the one that actually taught me and put me on to the RSS feed and how to do that correctly to add the value back to value block to my podcast feed. I've also had many conversations, maybe about 10, so I don't know if that's many or not, but I've had numerous conversations with Adam Curry about, and I know that everybody's gonna kill me, listen, I say what I say. I've had many conversations about Adam in the show and about what that value means. So although I may not be up to date with the latest, like the boost of grand balls and all that stuff, and no, I don't have any bandwidth to listen to the podcast index app, I have huge respect for Dave Jones and for Adam for what they've done and what they've pioneered. And I believe Adam and Dave being the engineer in that couple there, created Value for Value, and then Adam correctly pioneered it, right? Mm-hmm. Made it a thing. So I do appreciate the sentiment of we should catch up on things, but I also want to remind the listeners that I am one of the early podcasters in the Bitcoin space that actually have had this value block and have had this type of show going on what probably is 3 years now.
How do we verify that?
I don't know. How would you verify that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just being smart ass.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way. I mean, I can show you my transactions, I guess, on Sphinx Chat, but
I'm not familiar with the Sphinx platform or protocol or what that looks like. Yeah, history.
Not many people were, because you actually needed a node before a node was plug and play. Mm. Right. So like I spent a few weeks setting up my very first Raspi Blitz node. And that's when I learned about Lightning. And then that's when I learned about Sphinx Relay. And Sphinx Chat was basically like a place for you and how do I put it? It's a chat app that allowed you to listen to a podcast inside of it and also stream value, but then conversate. So what the boost section is now is sort of what Sphinx Chat was. It was just a messenger app. But on the bottom of that messenger app, you can actually listen to an episode, right? And then stream per second or give boost, right? And then we'll be able to conversate back and forth in that group and be able to give that value back and forth. So it's like the precursor to what the boost section is right now is what Sphinx Chat was.
So it sounds like Fountain kind of took that idea, reshaped it in what they thought would work, you know.
And then this is where Iron Morning is probably going to rake me over the coals, right? But I don't think it was, how do I put it? So podcasting apps were like yet to be a thing. So like, I always thought of Sphinx Chat as a messenger app that had a podcast player built into it.
Got it.
And then eventually with Adam, you know, pushing the way he did and podcasting become a thing, then those podcasting apps, not messenger apps, became a thing. And that's where like Fountain came, CurioCaster. There is a lot of them as I Am Morning and Robot has said. But, you know, with due time and over time, you can only pay attention to so many things. Mm-hmm. So I may not know about, you know, the latest of what's happening in Value for Value, but I know the core staple of what Value for Value means, right? And it's exactly what it is. It's exchanging value with the listeners back and forth. So yeah, man, catch us up. I Am Morning, feel free to keep giving us a boost and keeping us up to date. Robot is definitely keeping us up to date. So yeah, man, I mean, I'm not...
One question I have is, you know, now I'm just like, since you reminded me about Sphinx, What's going on with them? If they is the project still around, still going?
I think it is, and this is where like I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it is. I think it's more niche, right? Like I mm-hmm. think it's like node runners and like that specific thing. And I think there's better alternatives now. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have a lot of more competition that doesn't require a node, right? Like yeah. so. I don't know the updates of it, but I do know I'm pretty sure it still exists. And for what they did, I would argue that they were the pioneers of value for value.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, Adam Curry and his show, No Agenda, and continuously to push it with Dave Jones on the Podcast Index show, all that stuff obviously was the catalyst. Mm-hmm. But like, once again, you needed to test these theories out
yep.
in an environment. Right. And the Sphinx team was doing that. Mm-hmm. So although my timeline may be a little bit skewed, my timeline specifically was that I was on Sphinx chat with Talking in Bits when there was a very few small amount of people because nodes were very hard to actually get going. Mm-hmm. So, hey, whatever it is, I understand the true value of this. And I actually don't feel that I need to be up to the latest. I mean, it makes this show better. And maybe there's some things that are being unlocked that we're going to take advantage of. And once again, that's where Robot can cue us in here. But the ultimate form of podcasting, which is just communicating and providing value, that's always going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's my argument against that. Right. Yeah. That's my argument against that. And I am joking. I am mourning with the lashing part and all that. I like Kevin, do appreciate anybody who sets us straight. And one thing I will agree with you is that I am behind on that information, but I also am ahead on multi-state custody information, right? Like other things in other arenas that I've been focusing right. on in my life that maybe you, I am mourning, or anybody else listening may not be up to date. So right. the key message there is that we all learn the things we want to learn mm-hmm. and we all are experts in the things we want to be experts in. But what doesn't change is that if you feel value from this show, you know how to send it over this way. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I need to really care about. And that's the foundation of this whole thing.
Right.
Everything else is just cherries on top or toppings in that whole thing. So
yeah. And speaking of Sphinx, looks like it's alive and well. Their website for sure. is still very sharp and snappy. And, you know, it just kind of like you described, there's similarities to Fountain in here, but sure. then there's also this, it seems like there's a lot of emphasis on messaging to people, which is, you know, what I understood Sphinx to initially be. Which
decentralized messaging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I didn't even know about really the podcast aspect of it or the recording. There's, you know, their website, you can pay with memes. That's kind of a novel, kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to explain, like, my once again, this is my timeline. I don't know what the order of things are. But, like, yeah, Sphinx was like a way, like, somebody figured out, like, oh, shoot, you can actually push microtransactions with messages.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the cool things early on that I was attracted to was, like, hey, you could blur out an image, right, and then have somebody that's in that Sphinx group pay you some sats, yeah. right, to, like, clear it up, which exactly. is pretty dope. Which, if you think about it, it's like Noster now, right? Yeah. Like, it's like these other platforms yeah. now. So they were ahead of the game. And then somebody thought, like, hey, you can do this with podcasts. Like, mm-hmm. let's just do that. And then they yeah. did that. And then Breeze, I believe, was shortly after and saying, hey, we want to add a podcast player to our POS app, mm-hmm. our point of sale app.
Yeah.
Right. So like that stuff was happening way before this thing we know as B4B and all that. So I didn't want to like lash back at I Am Morning. Yeah. I was joking about that. But I did want to state that, hey, man, I'm an early dog in this game. Right. like I've been doing this for quite some time. And that before people even knew how to set up nodes. So like let's give Talking to Bits a little respect here. That's
well,
all.
I just think it's a case of, you know, you found the right tools for you.
Yeah.
And you started using those tools. And
yeah.
And as the specific tool set that you identified would work for you, as those evolve, you started using those more. And, you know, maybe there were some other things on the periphery that, yeah. that you're not looking at anymore. So
well, I mean, I took a break from podcasting yeah. for a little bit.
Right.
That's one thing. Right. And then like, hey, I don't know what y'all have to do with anybody. Is it you specifically? Right. So the audience doesn't think I'm targeting them. You, anybody, like, I don't know how much time you have allocated to you. Mine's is very limited. Mm-hmm. So I'll be lying to anybody if I say, hey, I can listen to Podcast Index app. I can listen to my favorite app. I can listen to No Agenda. I can yeah. listen. I don't have the bandwidth to do so. So I'm just going to let y'all surface the information to me.
Yeah.
And for the fifth time, Robot's on the team, and Robot's on the team to be able to do that for us, to sure. be able to get us to 2.0. So goddamn it, Robot, you better get to work. because I Am Mourning is tearing us up, and it's because of you. Now, I got love for Robot.
There's one other cool thing that I had when I first heard about Sphinx, and this will be my last bullet point on this one, is what was a really cool idea that stuck out to me was the whole stack work aspect of it. You do these micro jobs or whatever, micro tasks.
I missed that. What was that?
Yeah, that was like the, I think that was like the very first thing I heard about Sphinx.
Was it?
You
okay.
Know, credit TFTC for, you know, surfacing that out. And this was like a year ago, I think. But it's just little odd jobs, things like, you know, like you make somebody a meme or something, or you yeah. make a drawing or something to spec or something like that. And
sure.
then you pay Wallet and they pay the image, you know, pay to see it or whatever. And so it's a great way to just kind of have like, you know, you're sitting at home on the weekend and you're like, oh, I'm bored for an hour or something. I want to, you know, earn some sats, you
sure.
know, see what's out there on Stack Work that people are looking for. See if there's something I can do for them in a short amount of time and,
yeah.
you know, get, you know, 20,000 sats, 50,000 sats, amazing. Whatever. So yeah, awesome decentralized sort of, job board.
Well, whether, yeah, it is awesome. And whether, you know, Curie, you know, like trademarked or like made popular the term value for value and all that, that's all arguable. And you know, I'll let the listeners just set me straight on that. But like at the end of the day, what is consistent across the board outside of Curie and Dave Jones and all that is that people figured out that you can have microtransactions and exchange value mm-hmm. for ideas and content.
Yeah.
That's the core foundation. I don't really give a damn who labeled B4B. I don't care who made it popular. And I will give Oscar a shout out because although there is a shitload of value for value apps, Fountain has made it the easiest to load up on the phone and be able to do what you do, what the others do. So, you know, and the other ones, some of the other ones are just web players. They're not mm-hmm. necessarily like phone apps and stuff like that. So like I applaud the Fountain team because they, in my opinion, they brought the mobile experience up to par with what we're used to, like the Apple podcast player, Spotify podcast player. So, hey, listen, man, you could want to have a pissing contest on who's first, who's second, who's third, but I'm just talking about my timeline and the people and the products that have influenced Talking in Bits over the time. But I will say value for value was inspiring to me very early, which is why I did all the heavy lifting on getting it set up. And I will say that I never had any success in the fiat podcasting world because it's such a heavy advertisement-filled world. Like, there's no way for nobody to send you value. And if you want to get paid for your podcast, you need to be in the favor of some type of advertiser. And once I figured out that that's not the case in the value-for-value world, that's where this show has thrived. The favorite episodes, the favorite rants, the favorite guests that you've had have all been because of that value-for-value model, where I knew it was worth it because you guys, the listeners, can give me value without me having to show you some fucking coffee or some powder or some bullshit. So whatever, however we got here, damn it. And that's the end of the rants.
You're gonna have Jose shilling mattresses.
I can already see all the booze coming in. Like, you motherfucker, you lying piece of shit. You don't know nothing. Adam is my boy, whatever. I don't know. I got love for everybody.
The debates continue.
Well, the thing is that like everybody has to play their part. Adam Curie played his part. Dave Jones absolutely played his part. They continue to do that to this day by innovating the platform. Mm-hmm. I've seen Adam personally in person presents about value for value, and it's mm-hmm. super inspiring. And definitely he is the head honcho on the top of that, like why we should do this list. And he has the proof of work for it from his previous career.
Was that earlier this year, like March, April? Was that
that conversation I had? That was last year. And
his presentation that you were
last September in Bluffton in Georgia.
Oh, okay. I swore he came to the Commons here and did a quote, like he said, like, people are probably going to have to die for Bitcoin or something like that.
Oh, I don't remember that. But I know he had that same presentation I saw in Bluffton. I think he did it at BBB last year, August.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
It was in August. Yeah. And then in September, I saw him in Bluffton. And I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure he just did the same. I wasn't at BBB, but
similar presentation.
It seemed to be the same. It was a value for value presentation. And yeah, man, he's the GOAT. This is not, I don't care who's first, who's second, who's third. And you know, he holds his weight. Everybody holds their weight. The Sphinx team holds their weight. Breeze holds their weight. Everybody who's allowed this technology of microtransactions when it comes to content grow to the next level, I'm all for, because they're the reasons I'm here. We're standing on the shoulders of those giants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, go rip me in the boost. That's fine. I'm with this and talking in bits wouldn't switch back to a what I call a fiat model ever. So
yeah.
Keep building, builders.
Yes, sir. Switching gears here. I want to share some personal story time.
Let's go.
Kevin's personal experience with a rewards platform. And this is more of a, I think it's more of a boo-boo on my part rather than anybody else doing anything. So some context here. You know, I had some rewards I got through, Lolly, that platform that we all love. It's personally, I love it because like just hook up my credit card and like, you know, get free sats, like super easy. I got a few hundred thousand and I was a few hundred thousand sats and I was like, okay, time to withdraw. And I kind of want to like, not really looking to stack those, but maybe that's going to be like my spare change in my Lightning wallet that I kind of carry around and pay for stuff in Bitcoin with and whatnot. And because there's not really a cost basis, it was like a rewards cash sort of a situation. Like there's not really, this is not tax advice for anybody, but I don't think I have to worry about anything there personally. From what I understand, could be wrong. Feel free to answer in the boosts your own opinions.
Yeah, be a tax expert.
This is not the tax episode. But but I did a withdrawal over to my Phoenix wallet and love Phoenix. Shout out to them and shout out to Lolly too. What happened was I initiated that withdrawal over the weekend. I think this was like last weekend or maybe the week before, and. On like, I think they processed their withdrawals on like Tuesdays or something like that. Mm-hmm. So on Tuesday, I open up my Phoenix wallet and lo and behold, they just did the upgrade to V2. And when I was like, oh, okay, I wonder if this is like, you know, I saw my channels instantly, you know, do their on-chain closure and open right back up. I was like, okay, cool. Everything looks great. And then I was like, okay, well, what if I need to like receive some, like I'm just kind of, you know, clicking around or tapping around on the app on my thumb, just seeing what else has changed, if anything. And then I see this nice little disclaimer warning message at the bottom that said, you know, this is your new deposit address. Don't send any old funds to the old deposit address. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how in progress this withdrawal is according to, it's just as pending, but I guess it's time for me to open a support ticket. So I did. I sent one to Lolly and then I sent one to Phoenix because I didn't know who was going to get back to me and what the heck was going to happen.
Yeah.
Just kind of explaining the situation. Phoenix got back to me first. And I think I sent a message to them like hours after I did Lolly. And Phoenix was like, oh, no problem. If it ends up there, just tell us the address and, you know, tell us your new one and we'll help you, you know, get straightened out. And then I heard back from Lolly after that. And fortunately, it was just this was like, actually, I think it took a little bit. I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday when I heard back and I was starting to sweat, but I saw the withdrawal wasn't processed yet. So I was like, you know, there's still hope. And I'm going back and like checking my previous withdrawals. I'm like, okay, how many days after a Tuesday was this one and all this? And I'm like, you know, just sweating over 200, 300,000 sats, which is like, I mean, what is that? Like $100 right now, like $80. We just had a pump, so it might be a little bit more. But
see, but it's because we understand that number go up.
That's the thing. Yeah, I know, like,
it's not just $100.
In 5 years, you know, that's going to be something substantial if I don't end up spending it on cheeseburgers or whatever.
That's the Lambo money right there.
at the Bitcoin at the next Bitcoin block party or whatever. So I'm just like, oh, man, like, this would really suck if this is, like, my first instance of lost Bitcoin and literally just coming off the heels of several episodes where I'm just talking about sovereignty and controlling your own keys, not your keys, not your Bitcoin, all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh man, it's like, this is karma coming slap me in the face. But fortunately the rep from Lolly was like, you know, my initial email had everything anybody needed to know about what my intent was, what I wanted to do. I was like, this is what happened. This is what I want to cancel this thing like immediately, you know, let me know if you need anything else. Happy to provide it. And the person just, you know, got back with me real quick, like, just to confirm, you want to cancel? I was like, yeah, absolutely, cancel the shit. I replied in, like, probably less than 30 seconds or something like that. And then they said, okay, cool. Just wait to initiate another withdrawal for at least a few days while your balance, you know, gets credited back. And everything looks as it was before I initiated the withdrawal. So, like, success for Lolly, lesson learned for Kevin, withdraw to your own cold card first or cold storage or whatever your device is. And then, you know, contemplate that next transfer to your Lightning wallet or whatever. So that was that's Kevin's Lolly lesson.
Man, I hate Lolly, man.
I know you do.
Okay, fair. So I'm not even going to like put it.
I don't know if I want to hear him say Scott.
No, everybody's heard it already. It's terrible. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I don't find that business. I get what you're saying. Hey, I could just tie a card to it and get some sats.
Yeah.
But like, to be devil's advocate, I could do that with my credit card already. I just have to take the manual step of converting.
Yeah.
But like, so like, we could get into Fold too. We can get into a different thing.
I mean,
like,
that's on the list here.
Like, to me, it's like, I appreciate that these companies are using Bitcoin as an incentive to give people back stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Lolly example, I'm not lying to you. And yeah, listen, I'll do, if the listeners really want, tell me where to post it. I'll literally post my Lolly wallet and my transaction history. Fam, there is $15 worth of Bitcoin, which is why I don't even bother following up, because I don't really care about $15, and I should, that are just literally sitting there frozen in the wallet. It's been past a quarter. It's been way past a quarter, and they will not allow me to withdraw those funds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jose, why don't you just fire off a support ticket? Why do I have to? Right? That's my thing. Why do I have to if you guys are trying to do it the right way? Now, moving over, kind of like similar, but not Fold, 30 days. It's freed up. I've never had a single problem whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like clockwork. 30 days on
super
Fold.
Clockwork, yeah, dude. Yeah. And the withdrawals are super clockwork as well.
Oh, they're faster now. It used to be just like Lolly, like every Tuesday they do it, and now it's like you do it today, it'll be in your wallet tomorrow.
Yeah. So like, to me, it's like the value proposition of Lolly, knowing that I can just pull out my Apple Card and get 2% whenever I tap and pay, 3% sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, fam, I have no reason to go through your guys' KYC to then have to constantly hit you up with support tickets. Because this is before these $15 that I'm talking about, I have had to hit them with support tickets.
Mm.
For transaction issues, similar to yours, but not similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point does it become a loss for me to spend my time trying to figure out your platform?
Mm.
That's just a bad experience. I'm out of here. I'm gone, right? Now, moving over to Fold, I haven't had to have that bad experience when it comes to support and the transactions, but I have a different bad experience, which is every time I decide to opt into something you guys give, like renew my subscription or something like that, you immediately begin to move the field goal post. Like shortly, like it's planned, right? Like it seems calculated. Like it's like, hey, subscription time. Oh,
I'm not gonna lie. Like I my subscription came up recently and I renewed. And I think it was maybe a few days after the charge went through my Fold account and they got the annual fee, that then we find out, I think I know what you're about
all
to say.
All the latest
here.
Stuff that, well, they've done it a few times. So, like, it depends what time you're talking about. But what ends up happening is I was an early adopter, as were you, I'm assuming, to Fold.
Before there was a card. And
yes.
It was, oh, dude, man, I just found it sooner.
Yes. Yeah. It was amazing. Now, the problem is that, and a lot of this stuff, and over time, I learned this with Strike. Over time, I need to be a little bit more, I need to sympathize a little bit more, because there is outside influences that control decisions inside.
Yeah.
And before, I would just rant about you guys suck. You guys are doing this wrong. But I get it. I get it. So in Folds, I'm gonna try to practice that gratitude and basically say that there's some shit going on with credit card rewards, like legislation, that is really fucking them over right now.
Talk about that. Do you know? Can you elaborate more on that?
I don't know much about it. I just know that I've heard a few things where like some type of board or some type of committee is trying to remove credit card rewards across the board, not just with Fold.
Like airline miles, cash back.
Everything gone.
Walgreens credits.
Right. I don't know what those are, but yeah.
Dude, I just saw I made up. Because every time I go to Walgreens or CVS, man, they're just like, put your phone number, get your rewards and all this. I'm like,
nah,
this is just, I got to type in 10 digits on this thing. Can I just like
KYC everywhere you go? But like, now back to Fold, like I get it, it's outside. But the thing is you can't continue to rug pull me. You can't continue to say, hey, subscription is due. Right. Which I've, you know, I always win on those. So I'm with it. Right. I get more Bitcoin back. I did the math just with Amazon alone. I get more Bitcoin back than the annual subscription. So it's a win.
Mm-hmm.
But every time this happens, you take away key features from the platform.
Mm.
So it now resembles, I'm not going to get into the weeds, but I'm going to sum it up online. Mm-hmm. Now my 1-3% on my Apple Card far outweighs anything I could do on the Fold.
Mm-hmm.
yes, I do have to take the manual step of converting and like do it, but that's easy to do. I don't even have a problem doing that.
Yeah.
So I want Fold to win, but they don't want me to want them to win.
I think they want you to want them to want you to, you know, I just lost myself.
Just listen. yeah, that's the name of the episode. They don't, they don't want me to want them to win. but I love the product. I still have it, but I canceled my sub.
Yeah.
Until time goes by and they can stabilize the platform to where I say, okay, this is what it's going to be over time.
The economics, fortunately, are still good for me. But this whole PayPal thing with they had to reduce it to 0.5% because I think it was like a Visa thing that happened, that Visa made the change and it sort of trickled down to Fold because they're using, I think, their API for that.
Okay.
And so, you know, they had to it had to be limited to 0.5%. But on the flip side of things, they are doing a lot of other things with like people that actually use the card for spending. So that's not me. I just pay my bills to get the PayPal thing. And I double dip, you know, I get the rewards on the card as like cash back and then have Fold or Lolly for the other, you know, sort of incentive there, percent sats back. But yeah, over time it's changed for sure.
Yeah.
The thing is I think sats just keep getting more expensive.
Sure, sure, sure.
So it's the margins I think are going to naturally decrease.
Yeah.
And
that's usually the case.
And they're trying to grow too. And
I get it. Yeah. I get it. But like, hey, I could also have my strife, right? Because there is such a thing as a grandfathering people.
It's a tough balance. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you said, the numbers work for you. They don't work for me. Perfect example. I only sent like a small piece of my paycheck there. Right. So like, I'm not even saying like that was my main source,
right.
But what I would do is I would say, let's just say for easy numbers, I would just send like 10%. Right. So like I would dedicate that as grocery money.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to HEB, we would put this in, and then it would be super worth it because when you're doing groceries nowadays, you're spending $2.50 and up or $3. So it's a nice bet, and then you get the spins and all that shit.
Yeah.
But now, if you input your PIN, you don't get rewards back.
Yeah.
Well, guess what credit. HEB makes you do with your Fold card? You have to put the PIN in.
You use a debit card at HEB, they won't let you use credit.
Right. Yeah. I've tried to look for the option because sometimes you could just hit like no, cancel. And they'll run it as credit, right? Yeah. And you could still get... Can't do it. So now, once again, Fold, for my use case, it's gone. I can't now take advantage of that use case that I had, which made it worthwhile to me to pay you guys.
Mm.
And then the Amazon thing, that's still a thing. But I remember when the Amazon was more than 2.5%. It was something.
It was 5.
I think it was 5%, right? It was. And it was killer.
And then you got spins on top of that, but not like the new version of the spin.
Yeah.
This was the one where you spin a wheel and you could get like an additional 2% or something. And
yeah.
So that was certainly awesome. But I think sats have gotten more expensive since.
All right. And I get that. So let me just, if it feels this way, I don't know if this is calculated. Mm-hmm. That. So let me just send some friendly advice over to the Fold team, which I do want to win. I do. Yeah. I love the Fold product.
Rooting for you.
My thing is this. I don't know how you guys are lining things up, but let me know about the rogue pool before the subscription. Let me know about the... Let me be nicer. Maybe it's not a rogue pool. Let me know about the changes before you give me 900 messages about my subscription, because that's another thing. I know I got to pay, fam. Stop notifying me about the time is running out.
I'm trying to just give you a heads up, you know? The deadline's approaching.
That's a far heads up right there. I get it. But unfortunately, I even tried to drop down from like the yearly to just like the 10 a month. I was like, all right, well, I could definitely get $10 worth of sats back.
I forgot you could do it that way.
Yeah. And then of course, at the end of the year, you pay an extra $20. But like, I'm like, all right, maybe I could justify every month making more sats back $10 than, and with the HEB example I gave you, that's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm not just going to sit there and order shit on Amazon because I want to get sats. That's not how you use money. You use money for the things you need, not for some bullshit ass rewards that, like I said, I could just get 2-3% and get that back anyways.
Yeah, the key is like not, you know, altering your entire, I guess, purchase experience or whatever.
Exactly.
Just to get the
for cheese. A debit card.
At that point, you're like, okay, this is $2 of Bitcoin we're talking about. I might as well just buy that on Strike and just like.
Yeah. And then this one, once again, a little bit out of their victims of something that's outside of their company. And then the big one is like, all right, well, like, let me just buy Bitcoin here. Oh, well. I guess I can't buy Bitcoin here now either.
They're so working
like,
on that.
Sure, sure. And they used to be a native Lightning app, and I think they're working on getting more Lightning functionality back, which is fantastic. Where is that at?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that at? Like, I got money I want to scrape out of there. And it's like, I should be able to do something. I should be able to turn that into Bitcoin right away. Maybe similar to Strike, I should be able to maybe Lightning out of my Fold account, because it is a bank account. If you really think of it, it's a checking account. Yeah. Right? You have a routing number and everything.
Yeah. It's ACH only, but that's a real bank account.
So I should be able to, like, it's like if I have, like, let's call it fiat dust, right? If I got like $4.99 that's sitting there and I can't buy shit with $4.99, why can't I send out of my Fold wallet to an external Bitcoin Lightning wallet and get that money out?
So yeah, that's what they're going to do next, is like you're going to have this sort of like, kind of like how Strike has it, where you kind of have like a dual option of payment rail. Your balance is in dollars, but you can send it out as Lightning or on chain.
I think that's going to be a trend, by the way. And I don't want to, I don't even know if I can say this, but let's just say, because this was a conversation I had with a business owner of a Bitcoin company, and I don't know if it's too early to kind of dox it, so I won't. But let's just say that native Lightning wallets inside of Bitcoin apps is going to become a standard. And anybody who doesn't have a native Lightning wallet inside of their Bitcoin app, and I don't just mean to buy gift cards and stuff. This person, this company that I'm thinking about doesn't do gift cards. But they do, damn, man, I wish I could say it. I can't. Anyways, if you have a Bitcoin app, you will need to have the functionality of being able to send and receive Lightning transactions. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a standard in the next year or so.
And so when you're saying, timestamp that. When you're saying Bitcoin app, like are you talking about like what could you, well, I guess you can't give it
all.
I'm not trying to get you to dox.
I'll tell you after
like,
the show.
I'm curious, but I'm not like, I'm trying to, I guess for the listeners, get an example out there.
I know. And
not give it away.
I don't know. I you know, like some apps have already been doing it. And it seems like the listener's probably thinking like, yo, if you're talking about like gift card apps, or like, those exist all over the Bitcoin company, right? Like
I was just about to say.
Sure, like, but that's not the example I'm talking about.
That's what I mean. Like I'm trying to like, is there another proxy that can kind of get us there for the discussion? But
yeah. And once again,
sounds like you only know of one.
Well, there isn't many Bitcoin apps that do anything other than gift cards, right? Like, can you think of it?
Well, that's another thing. That was kind of a related question, was like, well, what do you mean by Bitcoin app? Like, there's like, you know, you have all the rewards platform ones. And
maybe Bitcoin app is not the way to go, but Bitcoin focused?
Yeah, like I read an article or listened to an article on Bitcoin Audible recently that was, you know, we don't need more Lightning apps. We need more apps with Lightning.
Not so that's maybe this helps clear it up. Not commerce-based apps, not retail apps.
Then, okay, follow-up question to that.
Sure.
Why would you need Lightning if it's not related to purchasing?
I will tell you after the show.
Damn, man. So, okay, this is going to give
sorry, listeners.
This is going to be, okay, now
sorry,
I'm
sorry, listeners.
Now I'm really
well,
curious.
Let me just say, I'm generalizing again. There is solutions to fiat problems that Bitcoin is solving,
right?
But until this point, the companies that have used Bitcoin as the solution to that have not had transaction integration built into their systems. Does that help a little bit? That's a little bit more in the weeds, I guess.
I'm thinking of two apps specifically now, so I can't wait to hear.
Don't keep asking, because you're going to nail it, and then I'm going to have to dox it.
I think I narrowed it down in my head, but I don't want to say it. We could
after the show. And for the listeners, so you don't think that I'm just like blowing smoke up your asses, if I get some type of approval or if this company announces, then we'll follow up on this conversation so you know that I'm not just talking shit. Yeah. But I do think that this is still being schemed up by that team, and I would hate to be the dude that says, hey.
Jose's not under NDA, but it might be unspoken. NDA.
I'm about to say, I'm under they're friends of mine NDA.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just respect what they're doing, right? Yeah. So, but well, yeah, good. Like, there's companies that are using Bitcoin as a solution to legacy fiat problems, which require fiat exchange, and they're going to make the jump to integrate Lightning wallets, and I think that's very important going forward.
Yeah, this is, I think I know exactly what this is. This is the Holy Grail, of like.
Damn, you putting the FOMO in the listeners, the Holy Grail.
I got the FOMO right now. I want to know if I'm right. I'll find out soon.
You probably are right.
I'll find out soon.
Yeah, but like, all right, so like these apps, like, look, as I said a little while ago, I have to be a little bit more gracious because, you know.
They're trying, man.
It's a new frontier when it comes to like Bitcoin and like in retail hands and stuff like that. And there's a lot of legislation, regulation, and things that are just still unknown.
Right.
So like, they're like Fold, for that example that we've been talking about. I bet their ambitions are definitely to do the right thing for us and give us the right product that we love. But unfortunately, the fiat world doesn't allow them to do so.
And I bet they weren't all, you know, bankers and compliance people before they got to Fold. You know, that's the cool thing about Bitcoin space is it's such a new frontier that you're not going to find those kinds of track records. What you are going to find is hardworking people that are busting their ass every day to make it.
Yeah.
And they're having to learn compliance. They're having to learn all these regulations
in real time,
and then they're going to have to, and then they're having to adapt in real time. Plus, they got to code. They got to, you know, release products. They got to meet with investors. There's just a multitude of things that the established sort of fiat institutions don't have to worry about because they already got it set up 100 years ago, and they just kind of keep on, incrementing is probably the wrong word, but just adding on top of that. That regulatory compliance stack, and you know, it's not this big cliff of, oh, if I don't overcome this big huge Mount Everest hurdle, like I'm done for.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do that. Like, how am I going to navigate these waters here that immediately require you to have a galleon sized ship instead of a little dinghy, you know? And it really stifles innovation. A lot of regulation does.
Sure,
and
does.
It stifles new entrants into the market to compete more. And the thing that really sucks about regulation, I don't even know why I'm just going ham on this, but, is that, you eventually it gets to a point where now the individual is affected because now there's no solutions coming to market for problems that the everyday person faces.
Bingo.
And so I think, you know, there's definitely factions out there that don't want to see Bitcoin come to the market, to the masses.
Right.
They're trying to choke it out. They're trying to implement, you know, travel rules. They're trying to implement, you can't do collaborative transactions with other people unless you register them in your Rolodex and take down their social and their source of income and how much their house is worth. And
for their protection, of course.
Yeah, it's for everyone's protection. And then you just got to store that data. No one's going to look at it except for the hacker that eventually figures out.
Yeah, the honeypot.
Except for the hacker that eventually figures out the one vulnerability in your security system that you so painstakingly devised to keep them out. But, you know, nothing's perfect. There's vulnerabilities in freaking Apple software and Google stuff every single day, you know, that they're being discovered. And every other day you got a critical update that you have to install on your machine. So,
If there's one thing the fiat system has done excellent is build honeypots.
Dude, and hamster wheels, man. They got us in hamster wheels.
Oh, that's real.
All up and down the world.
Look at them guys, engineers building hamster wheels. Yeah. Those motherfuckers.
what a great wide open free market you have. It would be a shame if someone added a hamster wheel.
Word. Yeah. And they run the fucking thing. Yeah, listen, it's disgusting. But yeah, a little bit more sympathy. Although I'm still going to come on this microphone and I'm still going to point the things that I dislike about companies, especially those that announce things way too early.
The pre-announcement.
Maybe it has to do with regulation because maybe that announcement gets delayed, but learn from your past and stop announcing things fucking early.
Oh boy.
But anyways, I do think that like having a little bit more knowledge, obviously we're part of a startup. That's not a secret.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that a lot of Bitcoiners and startups want to do, but I haven't found a way to do or can't do. I won't say can't because there's always a way, but I guess haven't influenced the right people or haven't regulations haven't basically shifted. They've been strict and rigid, as you highlighted. So I'm gonna be a little bit sympathetic, but you know, ultimately, as retail is and as the free market is, you vote with your dollars, you vote with your time. In podcasting, if you're not good, then you don't get my time. And in retail, for the Fold example, if you're not providing the service that I need, or if it's not worth me, you're not going to get my shitty dollars, which sucks because shitty dollars are the easiest thing I can give you. But you're just not going to get it. And I'm going to stand by. I want you guys to win. And I will jump back on. But I told a non-similar example. I told my wife this the other day about, I believe it was like, the HBO Max subscription. It's like, we seem to like have it like pre-programmed into us that like we need to have these things activated at all times.
Yeah.
But I reminded her that it's just a click of a button to get it back on and off.
Yeah. It's like a light switch.
Yeah. So it's like, look, I want y'all to win. I love HBO. I do hate the Max merger. That's another conversation for another day. That Max merger is a nightmare. Yeah, nah, that's another day.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's not HBO anymore.
I thought it was just rebranding. I didn't realize.
Well, what I guess we get into it right now. Yeah, with 10 minutes we got. Well, what happened, and I didn't know this in the beginning because I thought it was just a rebranding as well. But what happened is it is a rebranding, but it's now basically saying it's now doing kind of what everybody else is doing, what Hulu's doing and everybody. It's like, we're rebranding because now you don't know, it's no longer just HBO content here. Now you get like AMC content. And so it's like now it's a hub for other platforms to kind of stream on there.
Yeah. I mean, closed source loses. So you got to open up to everybody.
The exception is HBO though.
Okay.
HBO wins because HBO is who they are. And their content is who it is.
Yet they need other content on their platform.
Apparently they needed more dollars. So you bring in more library. Right. But now what happens is you water down the HBO content.
Yeah.
And now I don't see it. Now the shows are not even coming as often as they used to, because remember, now you have the, I guess, the fallback of not having to always have new shit because you have more shit. But the more shit is now garbage.
You've diluted. Yeah.
It's super diluted. Yeah. And listen, I've never been the guy to use this word loosely, but it's the most obvious example I've seen in my face, and I have to do it. Boy, is the app so woke right now. It is crazy woke. Like, I'm talking about, like, yo, I'm over here trying to watch The Sopranos, and I can't help but know about every single month. Black History Month, Hispanic Month, Gay Pride Month, Transgender Month. And they're like, give you a collection of shit to watch on that theme. And it's like, fam, I used to just load this up and watch HBO shit. Like, I used to go to The Wire, right? I used to go, like I said, The Sopranos or some of their newer stuff, like The Last of Us or something. Now it's like, to find that stuff, I literally have to go like down, 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 down. Oh, HBO, here we go.
So
I'm not a fan of it. Hey, if you're a listener and you noticed the transition from HBO to Max, please let me know how you feel, but it's definitely turned into a cesspool of mediocre content. When it was just HBO, it was like, adult premium content. Yeah. Like, and I don't mean porno. That sounds like, yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean? It was like, you can actually watch an adult themed show where you can see
Last
sex.
Last of Us
is
a good example.
Well, you didn't really see sex there, but yeah, you can see blood, gore.
I mean, adult themed stuff, there's shooting, there's like, you know, really tense situations that are like, you know, you don't want kids thinking about being in these, you know, life or death situations.
Exactly.
Sort of a thing.
And that seems to be a trend to like, kind of like, get together and try to like put content together. But now I got to go back and give it to Netflix, man. They're still Netflix, bro.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. They got a bunch of foreign shit and they're definitely diluting with a lot of content, but it's still Netflix. It's not Netflix and Paramount. Uh-huh. It's not Netflix and some other shit. It's Netflix.
Yeah.
It's branded Netflix. It is what it is. Yeah. Paramount is now doing that. I think Peacock now allows you to plug in other apps like Showtime and stuff like that. Everybody's basically trying to pull together to try to be like the top streaming platform.
Yeah.
But HBO didn't need to do that. Their content was so good and so timeless.
Yeah. I read something the other day talking specifically about streaming platforms and why they're kind of it's a situation where there are now probably too many of them.
Sure.
And there's only like the market's oversaturated with options to pick from, and there's not enough subscribers out there like alive with a pulse to make all of them profitable.
Yeah.
So you're going to see them sort of collapse and fold into one another, and you're also going to see this race to the bottom kind of activity to try and just, because they're hyper aware that there is a limited amount of market share to go around specific to what they do. And you got, you know, neighbors sharing subscriptions and all these things that further constricts the profit that they can make.
Yeah.
So you're having them like, you're literally watching them like gladiators all fight to the death in the arena, lowering prices, expanding their selection to try to get more people in. So you're going to see all of these ideas employed all at once. But I'm curious what the winning strategy is going
to
be.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Just stick to your guns, man. Just stick to your guns and like basically pay for content. Like there's this movie studio called A24. And I saw a YouTube video about this. They're basically not even a real studio. They just buy people shit. And like, it's theirs, right? Like, so like if you,
it's like a like Oracle or something who just like goes around and just acquires companies just for breakfast.
So they acquire movies. Like, hey, you made a great movie, Kev. How about you just sell it to us, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, and that seems so simple.
And sell all the rights and everything.
But they're the dogs, like they're dogs at it. They're so good at it, right? Yeah. So like now all the movies lately that are pretty good, you probably see them start with A24. So Netflix is starting to do the same thing. They're starting to go to like overseas. What works out here? Hey, we'll buy that shit. We'll bring it over here, right? Yeah. And they're adding to their library. But what they're not doing is, hey, a Hulu, a Paramount, whatever the fuck, why don't you come over here and join your catalog with ours to play in that game that you just talked about, where they got a pool. They're sticking to their guns. They're hiring their prices, so they're not rising. They're not going to the bottom. They're not racing to the bottom. Yeah. They believe in their content.
Yeah.
I believe Netflix to have the best comedy scene, comedy section, like not just comedy movies, like stand-up.
I gotta agree with you, man. I can never like go to Netflix and not find like a stand-up special or a hilarious show.
They own that, right?
Like they have got that down. My wife loves funny stuff, so like
same here.
Really appreciate Netflix.
And they hunkered down on the subscription sharing thing, and they did it successfully, may I add.
What, to my knowledge, all they did was kind of limit it to 5 or something?
No.
What did they do?
No, it was something a little more sophisticated than that. It wasn't a limit thing. It was a, I know if they notice it, they'll give you like a, hey, if you want to join this family's thing or whatever, you just pay an extra $5 or something like that.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's like they noticed that.
Oh,
maybe,
it's just $5? Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So they noticed that it was like, oh, this device isn't part of, it wasn't part of the family household. Yes. I guess it's like a household.
So they're
thing.
Probably monitoring IP addresses or the Wi-Fi
maybe,
network.
But they figured it out, and then they found a way to make extra money. Oh, it's just $5.
They looked at it as an opportunity.
Fam.
Not a negative.
And I remember a little while ago when Max was on the rise and Disney Plus was coming out, everybody was like, oh, Netflix is going to drown. And I'm like, man, maybe. I mean, they could have.
They invented the streaming space for home, media content. So, maybe not invented, but like they pioneered for sure.
Well, they did. What got us here though, and I'm going to circle back to this, is that like all of them apply. Like, let them battle it out if you're listening. Shut the fucking shit off if you're not watching it. Yep. And if you feel like turning it back on, turn it back on and then shut it the fuck off and then turn it back on. Because if you think about it, if I go back to it, Max was the example, I shut it off. The latest thing I was watching was the Hard Knocks, the Jets preseason football thing that on HBO. That ended, went back to nothing. There's nothing to watch now.
Yeah.
So I was actually paying their $15 premium or whatever. My point is that if you shut that off, something dope comes up. By the way, actually, it's going to be on Prime. I thought it was going to be on. Anyways, something dope comes up or whatever. Turn it back on, because most likely what you're going to pay for a movie rental or for a show rental is probably going to be about $10 to $15.
Yeah.
So now you get a whole month of it for that one movie you wanted to watch. And then you could decide if you want to stick around to it or not.
And you probably saved like $30 along the way, because it 100%. Was probably a few months in between when you canceled and you just didn't get drafted.
Let the motherfuckers battle it out and figure out what the right strategy is, and only pay money to those that have something for you to watch. And if they don't have anything for you to watch, it's society. Maybe it was Netflix, but society has been programmed to think that these subscriptions are part of their like primary bills. Like they should be there, right? Yeah. Like, and it's like, no, I will shut you the fuck off. And I will come back whenever there's something hot. And that's your challenge, to find something hot for me to watch or good for me to watch.
Yeah. Follow Jose for more money-saving tips.
Yeah, and then stack the sets. Hey.
Great life advice.
Yeah. You're going to be a terrible life if you listen to Jose. Yeah, but rough road. But yeah, that's all I got. I mean, anything else, we'll move over to next week's episode.
Yeah,
that's
right.
We ranted about some shit. Week. Yeah.
Good tight rip today.
Yeah, I appreciate the listeners as always. Leave the boost down below. If my timeline was fucked on Value for Value, let me know. If you're a Fold user, let me and Kev know.
And everybody rail on the streaming services.
Yeah, if anybody who's a Max, this is I'm putting it out there. Anybody who's a Max user, who was like an HBO Max user or an HBO user and saw that transition and is now seeing diminishing results, let me know. I want to make sure it's not me. I don't think it's me. But you just load up that app and you're just going to get whatever. What month is this right now? We're on like Hispanic Heritage? No, that was last month.
I was just going to answer October.
What is it, Rocktober?
No, October.
Oh, I thought you said Rocktober. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, dude, it's Appreciate Your Guitar Month.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, and I'm gonna sign off with it. Is it?
No, dude. It's just regular October.
Hey,
it's
man.
I don't know.
To Kev. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm gonna say out of the Halloween section or whatever, I'm gonna say Hulu is running the show on that. They're hollow. They call it like Hulu-tober.
Huluween?
Huluween, yes.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Easy.
Yeah. They are crushing it with like not only new content, Watch the Mill, y'all, if you haven't seen that yet.
The Mill. That sounds like a suspense, like horror, dramatic.
It's a movie that lasted longer than it had to, but it was really good.
Okay.
Like they could have done it in like an hour and some change, and I think it was like a 2-hour movie. But check that out. But yeah, they have like old school classic scary stuff that we all loved and grew up with, but also a really good selection. You could tell their team focused on October and were like, yo, let's push a bunch of like Halloween or like scary related shit.
Nice.
So they're leading that charge, but this is not a promo. This is not an ad. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody else go fuck us. but yeah, no ads here. We appreciate y'all. Leave boost on anything that we talked about here. Leave boost on anything you want us to talk about that we're not talking about. If you want us to get more educational, especially in like custody and things like that, well, me and Kev happen to be experts just by our profession and what we do at our day job. So we can definitely focus more topics on Bitcoin. We just love to have fun here and we love to have these talks because we have these talks personally anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to listeners. Thank you. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Till next week, y'all.
See ya.